Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm with musician Desi Valentine, who just finished his sound check for his performance at the Mountain Air Concert Series in Ouray, Colorado. How are you doing, Desi?
I am wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so glad I got to catch a little bit of your sound check there. That's one of my favorite things, to kind of get a sneak peek of what's coming. And sounded like you have some newer music.
I do. I've been working on a record, really honestly, for the last couple of years, and I've been writing. I've got a collection of probably over 100 songs, so we're just starting to debut some of the newer songs that haven't been released yet, that will be most likely going on the record.
Very cool. And you have a new single that came out this April called I'm Ready. Talk to me about this song.
I'm Ready is... it's very, very indicative of where I am in my life right now. And I've been so focused on career for the longest time that I kind of neglected love. And I moved my whole world, my whole life from the other side of the world to here. So it just really represents the feeling of that. And there's been so many crazy ups and downs and challenges and beautiful people and people that I've lost along the way. And that's what it really is about. And this is, I'm ultimately ready for love. And that's the biggest thing that I'll try and share through my music. I want to move people and inspire that kind of emotion. And the co-writer, Rune Westberg, he wrote with me and produced the song. He's unbelievable. We just have a chemistry like no other to write. Like, I wrote Fate Don't Know You with him as well.
Well, for our listeners, let's take a listen to I'm Ready.
It took some tears, but we got there. I've been making peace with my past. I've seen my demons' faces everywhere, but I put them in the shadows at last. Oh, I looked up and down and across the sea. I left my home and broke my heart, my heart. Oh, I lost friends and I lost enemies. And found myself back at the start. Oh, I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. All this time my soul was searching. Now I'm finally ready to be. Something worth waiting for. Standing with my back to the view. I didn't hear you knocking at the door. I wasn't ready for the truth. Oh, I don't know.
Ready to be
looked up and down across the sea. I left my home and broke my heart. There's no lost time when you find remedy. I found you right back at the start.
That was a song called I'm Ready by pop musician Desi Valentine. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Earlier this summer, I went to the final concert of the Mountain Air music series in Ouray, Colorado. Before the show, I had the chance to speak to Desi Valentine about his music, including a new single that will debut later on in this program. For now, we'll get back to the interview. Have you been to Colorado before? What do you think about Western Colorado so far?
I've been to Colorado once before. I went to Colorado Springs and performed, opened for Vintage Trouble on their tour there. I mean, I love Colorado. Just a very foodie place, like food and booze, and have many boys in the band that enjoy a little bit of weed as well. So that's always like a fun place to come to. But I've never been to Ouray, where the mountains, and it's so beautiful here. Unbelievable.
It is very picturesque. During your sound check, having the mountains in the background was just a beautiful setting.
Yes, unreal. It's like literally performing inside a postcard.
Oh, I love that. You're from London and you currently live in LA. What made you want to move to the US?
So I was living and born and raised in London, making music, and I kind of hit a bit of a plateau, a little bit of a slump stylistically, and even just industry wise I just feel like I wasn't getting into the inner circle of the industry, and I went for a trip a little visit over to LA in 2010, and fell immediately in love with it, and already like things were falling into place. I had met with Interscope Records. I ended up meeting with like a music manager and everything. It was just very clear that this was the next chapter for me.
So you've been there for 10 years now, almost.
I did like a year and a half, 2 years of like reconnaissance first, just like laying the groundwork, not just being like, I'm moving. So I just started working with a producer over there called Mike Castanguay, and did my first little EP, and then moved over in 2012.
Great. I read that you grew up in theater, or I read that you used to do theater.
I did. That was originally what I trained in. I went to a performing arts school and then performing arts college, really focused on theatre. They were the first jobs that I did out of college. I was in the producer's musical, the original cast of that. I've got to work with Mel Brooks and Susan Stroman and Nathan Lane, Lee Evans. It was just unreal. And then at that moment, decided to start working on music, then at that point really just kind of departed into the world of music, like writing songs, creating the, taking on like the different styles and learning and like an instrument, and just ended up being one of those really momentous, profound moments where it just switched around. And I love musical theatre, it was wonderful, but nothing compares to performing your own music that you've written and stories and that have affected your life. You know, it's unbelievable.
I love Mel Brooks. What was it like working with him?
Mel Brooks is the funniest, kindest, smartest man I've ever worked with or met. He's a living legend for a reason. And at one point he, so funny, we were both in the bathroom urinating at the same time, and standing side by side, and he turns to me and he says, I just want you to know that you're doing a fantastic job. You really, really light up the show, and I had a solo to sing. He said, I love your voice, and I just, you know, keep doing such a great job. And I was like, thanks, Mel Brooks, and then ran away because I was so shy. I was like, I can't believe it. And at that time I was, you know, 19 years old, so it was just like crazy. It was crazy.
I love that you're both, you know, at the urinal.
Yeah, no,
for this
course.
Very intimate moment of, you know, praise from Mel Brooks to you. What kind of music did you grow up listening to?
Oh, I mean, my parents were huge music heads, so they just, everything under the sun, listened to Ella Fitzgerald, Cole Porter, Tchaikovsky, like Edith Piaf, reggae. We listened to Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, like really just run the gambit of all of these different, radically different styles. And funnily enough, a lot of those have just soaked into me and been a real influence to the music that I make now.
And who do you listen to now?
Oh God, I'm a pop boy. I really enjoy pop music that's done well. Like, I love Adele. I think that she's incredible. I think that Billie Eilish is a friend of mine and she's incredible, amazing artist. Pink is like really ultimately probably like my due north star. As far as a career that is in the pop forefront, but still with so much artistic integrity, staying power, like 20 years of amazing music and still going strong, selling out arenas, and genre, she defies any genre. It's like, it's pop, it's rock, she can sing soul, it's blues, she can rock a Janis Joplin cover and make you believe that she wrote it, you know. She's incredible. So that's something in which I definitely draw influence from and aspire to be like.
I like that you just listed three women.
Oh yeah, I did. I love my ladies. I love my ladies.
All incredible vocalists. Your first album was called Back to Me, which was released in 2009. How has your music evolved over the last 10 years?
Well, Back to Me was a completely different style of music that I make now. And I didn't grow up with rock music, rock and roll music, any of that type. And so when I was first really exposed to it, it was so inspiring to me. It was just like, it gave me such an excited feeling because it was like discovering music all over again to find something that you really just don't know. So I took such inspiration from that, that was the type of album that I wanted to make, and ended up making a kind of rock pop, but still with blues undertones. You know, I've sung blues for many years, so it's just that always kind of comes in. But really it was a lot of guitars, and I consider myself a pop artist and a pop writer, so it was still a blend of all of those different styles and feels. And since then, you know, I ended up touring around London with that album, came to a point where I realized that I was like, whatever this isn't it. This isn't ultimately what I'm going to end up doing. And one of the Interscope A&Rs were like, so we like your voice, but whatever you're doing now, not that is what you should do. So I was like, okay, great. Really helpful. And I was like, okay. And they're like, you know, just listen to the top 40 and just see where you could fit. And I was like, that sounds awful and very gross, and I'm not going to do that. But I am going to study pop music because I've always identified with that and feel really drawn to that. So studied that, and then Adele's 21 album came out and it transformed everything for me. It moved me so much. Her lyrics and the way that she sings, it just like tears through your soul and you're just like, what is going on? I was completely besotted by this album and I was like, I think that I need to be making music like this. I think I can do music like this. So then changed the entire path for me and really found where my home sound is, and then I can draw on all of the influences that I grew up with and I've been singing since college, which is like jazz side and the blues, like real blues, like a chance to sing all those things and draw real influence into it and bring it into this kind of pop forefront mixture of it all. So it just, you have to kind of go around the long way sometimes to get where you need to get.
Yeah, and Interscope obviously heard the potential or the potential in the evolution of your music.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and you're listening to my interview with pop musician Desi Valentine, who performed at the final concert of the Mountain Air music series in Ouray, Colorado. I asked Desi if he had any new music that we could debut on KVNF. Here's Desi talking about his newest single.
There's a song called Altar, and that's A-L-T-A-R. People are always like wondering like what that is. And that's actually going to be the next single that I put out. And I've got a beautiful music video for it as well. So yes, that's coming out soon.
I can't wait to hear it. And maybe we can even sneak peek it on this show for our listeners.
Can. Absolutely, absolutely. I'll give you a premiere.
Okay, great. We'll take a listen to Altar by Desi Valentine.
Yes.
Today I wipe away a final tear. I'm in my suit, my tie, my finest. All the nearest, dearest, they're all right here. Wearing a smile under hushed silence. I'm thankful for this moment, feel so close yet far away. In love, there ain't no second prize. In your eyes, I was almost your number one. And I'll be there in another time, in another life. I'll meet you at the altar. I'm still behind you after all these years. First on your list to be invited. The curtain's closed, the path has disappeared. Made my peace 'cause you've decided. I'm thankful for this moment, saw it in a different way. In love. One last thing that's left to say. One last thing that's true. If you'd ask the question to me, I would have said I do. In love. At the altar.
That was a brand new pre-release song called Alter by Desi Valentine. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Let's get back to my interview with Desi. Your song Fate Don't Know You. I love how this song is really stripped down. It's not the rock, you know, album that you just described, your first album. This is a ballad. And it was also featured on an episode of Suits. What was your reaction when you first found out that your song Fate Don't Know You was going to be on network television?
It was... I didn't even fathom it at the beginning. I had so much crazy stuff going on at the time. I had just opened up for Blondie on their tour. I had just done my first major festival, Bumbershoot Festival in Seattle. And I just also had my bartending job close on me with 1 week's notice before I was about to go and do all of these. So all of a sudden I had no money stream to come in for these things. So I was really stressed out. I was really panicked because I have to bring my incredible band out on the road with me. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to pay for everything and make sure that everybody has everything that they need. And it was a really stressful time. And then I get the call saying that they're using my song in an episode of Suits. And I didn't even realize that it was the season finale of the whole show, and it's closing the whole show. So it was like they played the whole song. It was the closing montage. There was a proposal. There was somebody leaving the show. There was some like people getting together. It was like a whole crazy thing. So my head was like, hey, so like, is everything okay? Can I eat tonight? Do I have any money? Like, what's going on? And consequently, I see it on TV because my friends were all sending it to me. And that's when it hit me that I was like, this is a big deal. And then my Twitter and Instagram and all my socials, people, because the song had not even been properly released yet. It was going to be coming out in the next couple of days because we just found out that this big placement was going to happen a few days before. So we're trying to get the song out. I had angry tweets and emails from people being like, I have been looking for this song for an hour and a half. Where is it? And I was like, oh, because it made such an impact on the listeners and the people that love the show. And it changed everything for me. It really did. It really put me on the radar of anyone, really, because I'd kind of been in obscurity before that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's still crazy.
Let's take a listen to Fate Don't Know You.
I put my palms before her eyes, and she told me my truth. Laid the road for me, a rich man's destiny, but she saw it without you. She's a liar, she has no clue. You're the one thing I will not lose. I'll turn the tide, pull down the moon. When rivers dry, battle fate for you. Let's burn the pages, we'll start anew. Run through the ages to prove fate don't know you like I do, like I do. I'm gonna make you feel my love, leave you no room for doubt. No other road for me, you're my destiny, won't go nowhere without you. You're my fire, that much is true. You're the one thing I will not lose. I'll turn the tide, pull down the moon. When rivers dry, battle fate for you. Let's burn the pages, we'll start anew. Right through the ages to prove. No clue, you're the one thing I will not lose. I will not lose. I'll turn the tide, pull down the moon. When rivers dry, bow to fate for you. Let's burn the pages, we'll start anew.
Your new album that's coming out is called Shades of Love. Do you have a release date for this? When can our listeners expect this album out?
It's going to be the beginning of the fall, actually. So we've got a number of singles leading up to that, and then it's basically going to be the fall that it should hit. So maybe the middle to end of September. And then, yeah, there's going to be a lot of touring that goes along with that. So follow my socials and all of those things to see if there's any dates that come near where you are. And we're going to be doing the whole of the US, Canada, maybe some European dates as well.
And you're at Desi Valentine?
At Desi Valentine. Yep, that's me.
Perfect. Ooh, I've got one last question, if I can sneak it in here. I read somewhere that you used to be an Uber driver.
Yes.
What was that like?
So it was really funny because exactly the same time that I was opening for Blondie and doing Bumbersuit and then Fate Don't Know You happened, my club job closed. So I literally had no other form of income that was going to be flexible enough for me to go and have this much time off and go and travel around and play music. So ended up getting a brand new car at the time, so I could actually end up Ubering. Got the new car before I lost my job. Just note that one. And then I was sitting in the car, and I'd just come back from Salt Lake City opening for Blondie. And the very next day I was Ubering, and a Blondie song comes on the radio while I'm Ubering. And I was like, it was one of the weirdest moments of my life to be like, I literally just was on stage with them yesterday and now I'm Ubering. And I'm like, talk about humbling circumstance. And I'm grateful for it all, man. Like, I got to meet some amazing people Ubering, and there's no pride or ego in any of this stuff. It's just like, I needed a job and you've got to do it. And I'm a worker. I work hard and I always have. So I'm proud of those moments too.
Yeah. Did you ever sing to your passengers?
Oh no, absolutely not. But I had many people request to hear my music while I was in there. And at the beginning I was too shy, and then I was like, just play it for them. So I did, and I still have some fans that like were fans from that still contact me and follow me, and you know, they've seen my career grown exponentially since then. So they're just like, still. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you actually made me think, part of me is really concerned in the direction that the younger generations or any generation is moving into with so much technology. But even though Uber is an app, you're still connecting with people.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You absolutely are. Like, it's a really great way to meet new people, to create new fans. You know, a lot of up-and-coming musicians are having their like CDs and things like that and handouts to give to their people, because if you ride a lot, you end up having hundreds, if not thousands, of people that you meet.
It's actually a genius idea.
That's it. It's marketing. That's it.
Well, Desi, I know I need to let you go. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and I can't wait to hear your new album.
Thank you so much for having me. And of course, as soon as it's ready, you're the first person that's getting a copy. Like, I'll give you an advance copy to do the whole thing, because I love what it is you're doing. I love your championing up and coming artists and taking a real care and love for music. So thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.